Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 119. That's 119, we're avoiding Christmas episode. You know how I am, cranky about Christmas, like to observe a little Advent before I get my Santa Claus going. I know I am like the only one left who does this. I know I'm in such a tiny minority. I can't judge. I don't judge. You do your thing. I'll do my thing. But no, don't have a tree up. Well, get it sometime next week. So today, by the way, is Wednesday, December 6th. And, you know, it really depends a lot on when Jack comes home. Today is his last day of classes. He'll have exams. And I'm not sure if he knows, because he can schedule, this is weird to me, he can schedule his own exams. He has to take them, but he can decide when. Don't quite know how that works. Anyway, if I know Jack, he will be waiting until the last minute. So we may not see him till the very end of exam period. So there's also the question of whether or not he'll want us to wait till he comes home to buy the tree. I'm not sure that that's something that he's thoroughly engaged in. He may want us to wait to decorate the tree, but not necessarily to buy it. So we'll see how that all works out. I am not making gifts for Christmas other than knitting scarves for my writing workshop girls. I have found in the past that one way, there's so many ways to ruin Christmas, but one of them is, yes, having sewing projects that take you so much longer than you think, especially if you're me. I'm going to talk about QuiltCon entries in the Quilt Diaries. I won't spoil any excitement that I'm sure you're just a quiver with right now, but you'll hear all about it in the Quilt Diaries. What do I want to tell you? I want to tell you that Margaret Goes Modern and Other Stories is very close to being ready. Believe me, I will make that big announcement as soon as Margaret is good to go. I'm hoping maybe next week. This is a couple months later than we had wanted, but just has been, for so many people, not just us, not just me, but a really busy fall. I know you get tired of people going, oh, it's been so busy, but sometimes I do feel like, you know, I'm not an astrology person, but you feel like something's going on in which everybody, you know, is just like, yeah, I don't have any time. I don't know what's going on. And that's usually not me. I'm usually, because I'm so lazy and I create wide expanses of time around me, because that's just, I like to flop around a lot on the couch. But this fall has felt a bit busier, and I've got a lot of writing projects going on and some quilting projects as well. So Margaret is coming out a little bit more slowly than we'd hoped. That sounds birthy in a way that I don't want it to. Sorry. I am recording Friendship Album 1933, the audiobook that we're going to put out as a podcast. I think that's actually going to happen in the new year. And it's a little bit scary because I've actually not finished writing the novel. I have about 8 podcasts worth of material. So I just need to stay ahead of it. And I also want to get Stars Upon Stars, the revision done by February 1st, so that it could be out in April. Again, this is also happening a little bit later, but c'est la vie, it's hard when you're running a homegrown business, as we are. I'm trying to think, I feel like I had something to tell you that I didn't get around to telling you in the Quilt Diaries, but I can't imagine right now what that is. I'm sure it'll come to me as soon as I stop recording, but because we've got lots of material in the Quilt Diaries, I say, let's get on with them. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Tuesday, November 28th. I'm sitting here with Travis the Quilt Dog. Actually, I have to leave here in a little bit to go pick up Will, but I thought I would chat while I had a quiet moment here at the end of the afternoon. I have spent much of the day deciding or trying to decide whether or not to make the push to finish Sweep Exit to send to QuiltCon, to enter into QuiltCon. I'm kind of leaning against it, although it is almost done. If I was just absolutely committed, like I am entering this quilt into QuiltCon this year, I think I could make it happen. The deadline is Thursday. It's pretty much all quilted. It's pretty much all the threads are buried. I would have to do the binding, and I want to do a binding. My friend Patty showed me how to do this, where these two the white rays that come out to the side of the quilt. I want the binding there and those spots to be white, and I think the rest of the binding will be red. And so it's a little bit tricky, but Patty showed me how, and I think I get what she was saying. That's always a little bit of a crapshoot, not because of Patty's teaching, but because of my ability to ingest information. However, I think I've got a handle on that. So I could do it, but I'm not sure that I love the quilting on it. It's kind of improvised quilting. It's kind of cool, but I'd like to live with it for a little while. And I also, there's just part of me psychologically there's part of me that feels that it would probably be a good thing psychologically to not get too caught up in getting quilts into QuiltCon. And the fact is, I can enter it into QuiltCon next year if I'm feeling the need to try to get it in. So I've entered, and I should say I've already entered wing and sit-in. So I've got two quilts, both in the appliqué category. Both, it's done. I've got my receipt, so no last-minute thing. I could change my mind between now and Thursday. I am perfectly capable of that. And the fact is, I just sent a draft of a novel into my editor, the fourth Sam the Man. This is Sam the Man in the Lost and Found Plan. So I could say, you know what, I'm gonna take a couple of days off and get this done, but I really feel like I want to live with the quilting. I don't know. Stay tuned, right? I probably will record at least one more quilt diary. Of course, I will before I post this episode, so you will know. Who knows? You should start placing bets now. I have had fun doing the quilting, and it is a little scary because I never have an overall plan. I always kind of make it up as I go along, and I kind of like this. What I'm interested in here with this quilt, so we've got that center block that is improvised. It's black. No, it's red, white, and dark gray. It's very cool looking. You've got the two white rays coming out from the sides and at different places in the quilt, and then the rest of the background is black. And so that's a lot of negative space to work with. Now, I knew that with the white, I wanted to keep that clean. And I talked about last time I'd started using some gray thread, light gray thread, but still gray thread, and it deadened the white a little bit. So I took that out and just did straight line quilting following the ray in white thread. And so it's very simple. But in the black, I'm also doing straight lines and also doing a lot of rays coming out in red, white, gray. Yeah, that would be it. Red, white, and gray. And black. So there are spaces that are quilted, but you don't see the quilting. And I think I like it. There's one there, but it's kind of like it's essentially four sections of black, and they're all done a little bit differently. And I have to say, one section I really like the best. And so it's tempting to tear out the quilting on the other sections and have them all mirror that one section. But I also sort of like the fact that each section has its own idiosyncratic quilting. I don't know. And this is what I want to think about. And I also don't want to be doing this thing where I enter the quilt, say if it got in, and it very well might not get in. All right, but say if it did, and then I would spend the next 2 months re-quilting it. And I'm just like, no, it's just not, QuiltCon is fun. I loved having quilts in it last year. I hope to have quilts in. That would be exciting. If I don't, that's fine. That's a life lesson too, right? That you don't always get in. Even though you like your quilts, they're curating a show, and I understand. So anyway, I kind of don't want to be focused on that. And I have to finish. So I have to finish round robin. Or yeah, some. I have to finish blocks, two different blocks for my guild for two different quilts we're doing, a charity quilt. Maybe for QuiltCon. No, is that right? Yes. No, that's another one. They've already done that. I missed that. But one is for a show, the Raleigh Quilt Guild. the Capitol Quilters are having a big show. I think it's in March, and we are doing maybe two quilts for that, sort of charity quilts, auction quilts, what have you. So I have those blocks to do. I have Twilter blocks for the Facebook group. I am so behind, and that is actually my next thing. As soon as I finish up with Sweep Exit, I will get it to some finishing place, and I may even go ahead and put a binding on it. I won't wash it, and that way, if I decide to make changes on the quilt, that's fine. It'll be easy enough to take off the binding. And I think there's enough quilting at this point. I don't think it would mess. I don't know. There may be potential dangers in cutting it down, you know, cutting the excess fabric and batting. But I think it's going to be okay. I think it's all going to be okay. I think it's going to be okay. But I want to do my other things. And I have to tell you, I have another quilt I want to do. that I think I'm going to do next. It's I think it's called a melon, the pattern, it's a quilt, it's an old quilt design that I found in the North Carolina Quilt Documentation Project book. It is a quilt from, I want to say the 1930s, and I believe it's called Melon. And it's essentially curved piecing. All I can tell you is it looks like big petals, and does it look like big petals, Francis? Yes, that's what it looks like. It is a series of petals, black, and it's a mix and match of black and cheddar, and it's very cool looking. And I know I've given you nothing to work with visually here. Maybe I will post a picture. I took a picture from the book with my iPhone and printed that out, so maybe I will post that picture so you can see what I'm talking about. But it's super cool looking, and it turns out that Motobella Solids does have a cheddar orange, so I'm excited about that. And yeah, so I'm gonna get my blocks out of the way that I owe everybody, and then a new quilt. And I love the idea of doing a black and orange quilt. What else to tell you? We had a nice Thanksgiving. Jack was here. It was hilarious. He got home Tuesday night around 6. 15 minutes later, he was gone. He was out with his friends, and he did do a fair amount of socializing, but we also had him here a bit. We had a very nice, very quiet Thanksgiving, but it was nice. It was fun. Did have not a turkey fail, but a turkey. This is an 8-pound turkey breast. Now, with turkey breast, or perhaps this is true with turkeys in general, it's like you're supposed to kind of calculate 20 minutes per pound. So, you know, so with the 8-pound turkey breast, you're talking maybe 2 hours, 30 minutes, 2.5 hours, a little over 2.5 hours, right? Although in my oven in the past, they've always finished faster than that. And so, you know, but I calculated for like 2.5 hours. I thought that would probably do it. And that we would eat around 7, put the turkey in around 4, it would be done 6:30, let it sit. And it took 4 hours to get this thing done. I think I got this turkey, it's organic turkey, got it fresh from Whole Foods. I think it had been frozen. I blame Amazon. I think it had been frozen because one of the things is that it cooked very unevenly. So I would hit the bird with, or the breast with one part of the thermometer, and it would be like 158, just, you know, almost there, right? Almost up to 165. And then another part, it would be 140. So that's what I think happened. But it was frustrating, but everyone was cool. And just, again, it was just us, and the boys both ate pretty late lunches, and no one seemed bothered by it. So we didn't sit down till 8 and had a very nice dinner. And then we had our annual tradition of watching A Christmas Story, afterwards. As you know, I do not decorate for Christmas until mid-December. I am the last person on the planet that waits that long, and this year they're talking about a shortage of Christmas trees, and the man's like, you think maybe a little sooner rather than later? And I'm like, maybe, but, you know, not, it has to be at least a week into December, and I don't know, I like how we do it. Second weekend of December, we get a tree, and if it's, maybe this year it's just going to be a scraggly Charlie Brown Christmas tree, I do not know, but we started watching A Christmas Story at Thanksgiving many, many years ago, and so that is still our Thanksgiving night tradition, and it's fun, and of course the boys sit there with their phones, and you're like, get off your phone, but that's, Welcome to America. And then the Friday after Thanksgiving, the man and I watch a movie that I truly love, called The Way with Martin Sheen. It was actually written and directed by his son, Emilio Estevez. Is that his last name, Estevez? I think so, but you know who I'm talking about. Anyway, and it's a pilgrimage movie, which I love. It's a walking movie, which I love. And I watch it every year, and I love it every year, and I cry every year. So now I have to think about, oh, dag, I forgot. I'm trying to, when you get into the holiday season, Turner Movie Classics often has like the best movies. And so I try around this time of year, particularly once we get into December, to check the TV listing in the paper to see if there's any movie that I want to record, because there's so many really good classics. And I'm really mad because I missed it. I follow Susan Branch on Twitter, and she posted that, I don't know, I guess it was maybe Thanksgiving Day or the day after. She's like, Mrs. Miniver is on. But she, it was 2 hours. I read her tweet like 2 hours after she posted it. I love Mrs. Miniver. So all these good movies. They almost always do The Man Who Came to Dinner, which I love, with Bette Davis, and also The Little Shop Around the Corner with Jimmy Stewart. And so I watch those every year. And we watch all the usual Christmas ones. Plus, another favorite weird movie. Not weird as in it's not a weird story at all, but a movie that maybe isn't shown very much. So we have it on DVD, which is called The Gathering with Ed Asner, who played Mr. Grant. And I think it was probably made for TV movie. I love that movie. So on Christmas Eve, I like to watch The Homecoming, which is the movie that begat the Waltons. The movie was begotten by the novel Spencer's Mountain, which is one of my favorite novels. I need to read that again. Anyway, so Thanksgiving, holidays, ho ho ho, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so I just wanted to update you on the QuiltCon situation, the sweep exit, my dreams for what comes next. And I'm also in the middle of watching Crystal Watson's recent Modern Quilt Guild webinar about machine quilting, which is great. I love Krista. She's my girl. She talks fast, but she owns it. She tells you first thing in the webinar. She's like, I talk really fast. And like, she really does. And I've had the opportunity to hang out with Krista on a couple occasions in real life, and she is delightful, and she talks that fast in person as well. So anyway, it's a really good informative webinar. I'm not finished with it yet, but if you are a member of the Modern Quilt Guild, I highly recommend it. That is, I think, one of the best reasons to become an individual member if you don't actually have a guild around you. I like the webinars. I have found them really helpful and useful. It's probably, to be honest, kind of the only reason, other than if you want to submit quilts to QuiltCon, the other reason to, other than that, the website, is not very active, but the webinars are great. So I thought I would tell you that, and then now I'm gonna run. I've got to run actually to the Durham Food Co-op to buy bulgur in bulk, because at my regular grocery store, bulgur is like, for 8 ounces, it's like $7. I can probably get a pound for $3 at the co-op. So I have to do some bulk buying, and I will be back soon and inform you of my ultimate decision about sweep exit. It could happen. I could decide. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Thursday, November 30th, 2017. Just want to let you know I did not finish sweep exit, and that was on purpose. In fact, I haven't worked on it in a couple of days. The last 2 nights, I've done after dinner. I have put on my warm flannel pajamas, pajamas that are actually too warm for me to sleep in. I have to change into other pajamas when I go to bed. But I put on my flannel pajamas and make a cup of tea, and I've been reading that long, long ago favorite pursuit of mine, reading. I have been reading, and just this and that. Books I grab from the library, some nonfiction. There is a book I just started by John Hodgman, who you might know from The Daily Show, or what, he's in commercials, like in Apple commercials, I think. So just and it's, I don't even know really what it's about. It's about him, I think, and it's enjoyable. And so I've just been reading enjoyable books. The man has been busy. He is actually doing the copy edits of Margaret Goes Modern, my story collection, which I hope will be out really soon. Believe me, I will let you know. So I have not asked him to build me a fire, but I'd really like a fire. We'll have some fires in the fireplace this weekend. And it's been not warm. It's actually been beautiful. It's been about 65 degrees and sunny for many days in a row, but it's going to be a little cooler over the weekend. So my bet is the man will build us some fires. But it's been nice. I love quilting. So it's not like, wow, phew, glad I don't have to quilt anymore. But it's also nice to have a little change of pace. Tonight I have my book club, so I will not read, and nor did I read the book for my book club, the name of which I can't even tell you. It's by a Swedish writer. One of the members of our book club, Monica, is from Finland, and she's from the part of Finland that I believe, I'm going to say, borders Sweden, and so she speaks Finnish and Swedish, and this was her choice. And I tried to get into it, and I just could not. I just didn't. I was confused by it. I just didn't have the bandwidth for it. So, we are meeting in a restaurant, and I don't plan to eat at the restaurant, but I'll probably have a glass of wine and just enjoy the fellowship of my lovely fellow book club members. Next weekend, next Friday, is our annual Christmas party, which is always quite an event. It's very fun. We do the Yankee swap, and everyone brings a book. Which we also do a Yankee swap on. So everything's wrapped and it's fun. We enjoy ourselves. So I will try not to feel too guilty. I feel no guilt. I feel no guilt about not reading the book. But I always feel a little rude, I guess. I try to be a good citizen of my book club. Sometimes I achieve that status, other times I do not. So tonight I won't be quilting. I might be knitting a little bit when I get home. But this weekend we don't have much planned. I have my writing workshop with my writing workshop girls, and we will be celebrating Ellie's birthday. Ellie is turning 15, and Ellie's a genius. She's an amazing writer, and she will. We are putting together some things for her, and it will be fun. But that's about it. So I hope to finish up Sweep Exit. I'm still looking at it and thinking about it. I have done a little bit of unquilting, and I want to do a little bit of requilting, and then I want to ponder. Generally, as I'm looking at it right now, it's on my table, but generally, I like it. I just feel like I could like the quilting a little bit more. I feel like it's not quite there yet, so I don't feel like, oh, that was an utterly failed experiment, but I'm like, I think it could be better. I think there's something I can do with this quilting that can be a touch more effective. So who knows? Maybe depending on when I post this, I will put up a picture. I'm such a great photographer. But no, I actually saw a great blog post today via the Quilter's Table, or I think it's a Quilter's Table, which is a newsletter, and the author of the newsletter, her name is Debbie. And I can't think of her last name. She's a modern quilter, and I love her work. She's an amazing quilter. If you are looking for a good newsletter, check out A Quilter's Table, which I believe is also the name of her blog. But she sends out a lot of links in her newsletter. And so there was a link about taking pictures of quilts. And it wasn't so much technical as ways to pose your quilt that I thought were quite interesting and innovative, et cetera, et cetera. And I will post that link on the show notes. And if I think about it, I'll post a link to Debbie's blog and her newsletter, or I guess her blog, and then you can, if you're interested. It's a good newsletter. I don't think that she has anything to sell me. I think she's just a quilter who keeps up with quilting. She has a lot of Instagram followers. It kind of surprised me, not because, I mean, her quilts are fabulous, but because she's not selling anything. So I think people just follow her because they like her and like her quilts. There's somebody I follow on Instagram. I don't know the name, and I think she's someone who started following me, and I followed her back. And she has like 80 followers. She follows about 150 people, and her quilts are amazing. The stuff she's doing, she's British. I'm sorry, I'm being so vague. And if I think about it, I'll put her Instagram handle. It's not a private account, I don't think, but I'll put her Instagram handle in the show notes too. But she's doing modern quilting and super cool stuff. I mean, it's some of the coolest stuff I've seen. I'm like, why aren't more people following her? Obviously, she doesn't follow that many people, so I think she's using Instagram as a place to document what she's doing, but not trying to really create an audience for her work, which is, kind of cool. Yes, so. Back it up, back it up, back it up. Oh, yes, talking about a sweep exit, and I'll take a picture of whatever shape it's in by the time I post this episode, which could be this weekend. I think I posted the last episode a week and a half ago, like on a Monday. So maybe a Sunday. I don't know. We'll work it out. Don't worry. Don't you worry yourself about it. I'm gonna take care of it. But you can, what I'd love to do is post a picture that you can actually see the quilting and form an opinion about it. But yeah, and then the other thing I want to do this weekend is get on all these twilter blocks and well, I just talked about that in the last quilt diary. So I have spent the morning very productively. I did some recording on Friendship Album 1933. We just got this new mic, and so right now we're in the testing part of this experiment where the man is, I recorded yesterday and it sounded pretty good, but we want to try it again today with some different levels and this and that. So the man will listen to that later. And I think once we've got it down, well, we'll have to, the other thing we'll be figuring out, and just, the man is a perfectionist. This could be a few more weeks, but I would hope that maybe even before the end of the year, I'll start posting podcast episodes, and I think the podcast will be called Quilt Fiction. And yeah, but it's interesting with this really good mic. I sit there and record myself, and I've got earphones on, and I can hear every little sound. I had no idea I made so many mouth sounds, and I don't think this audio recorder picks them up. And I don't think in regular conversation your ear would pick it up, but this mic picks it up, and you're like, wow, it's not kind of gross. Yeah, not gross, but just noisier perhaps than I would have thought one could sound just speaking in a regular tone of voice into a mic when not excessively salivating. But there you have it. So I did that. I recorded probably for about an hour, and it's interesting. I think probably the longest I should record at one sitting is probably 30 minutes to 45 minutes, because that last 15 minutes or so, I stumbled a lot more. So I probably should have taken a break and gone had a cup of tea and what have you. But I enjoyed it. I like reading out loud. I always loved reading to my kids when they were little. And then I started working on an essay. So I'm not giving myself a week off in terms of, sitting around and eating bonbons, but I am giving myself some time off in terms of getting started back again on Stars Upon Stars, which my plan is to get back to that on Monday. But I just wanted a few days to mess around. And I have been, for a long time, one of my dreams has been to actually write essays about quilting. And not just argumentative essays, but more really essays about the process and what you might call creative nonfiction, and the essays that are somewhat meditative. There are lots, so many good knitting essays. There's collections. I need to go check out some collections of knitting essays. And just see, what do people write about, and why don't quilters do that? I don't know. I mean, which is to say, write essays about quilting. They don't very much, and often when they do, if they're not polemics, if they're not arguing something, which mostly they're not, they're kind of funny. Like, isn't quilting funny? Isn't it funny when we quilters make mistakes? No wonder we're so happy, because we're always laughing at ourselves. Kind of light essays, and that's not what I'm talking about. So anyway, this morning I started working on an essay, which is just that. Why not write about why I make quilts. And the first thing that came to me was, well, I really like quilts. that the simplest answer is, why do I make quilts? I like quilts a lot. I love quilts. I am crazy about quilts. And and so that's a big reason. But I talk about what I like about quilts, and then also get into like, if you like quilts, you need to be able to make quilts. If you want quilts that are functional, that you can use in your home, it is possible. If you go on eBay and search antique quilts, they're amazing quilts that are for sale under $200, under $100. Really pretty old quilts. Now, I don't know. I think before I bought an antique quilt on eBay, I'd start asking around, asking knowledgeable people, what do you look for when you buy an antique quilt on eBay? My guess is Bill Volkening has written about it. Someone's written about it. Because, how do you know if someone says this is a 1910 quilt? I mean, you can look at a quilt, and if you know something about quilts being made in the at the turn of the 20th century, you can say, well, yes, this is in the style of that quilt. I don't know what eBay, what kind of rules they have. I assume they have rules that you cannot falsely advertise something. You can't fa advertise a quilt that you made and banged around with some rocks out by the riverside to age a little bit. You can't try to sell them as a quilt made in 1930. But I don't know how, but I'm sure that people, that there are those who will try to sell you a quilt that they're called antique. The most hilarious thing to me about antique anything or vintage, say if you put, was looking for some vintage Christmas postcards, and I, search, put type that into the eBay search engine, and and then you get postcards from like 1993. I'm like, I don't really consider that vintage at all, but I don't consider 1964, the year of my birth, a vintage year. But I guess at this point, that is, we've moved into vintage, but not antique, and there's a difference, although I couldn't tell you what it was. So you can buy an antique quilt, but I would not buy an antique quilt to use. I'm very much about the functional quilt. I do have some quilts that are wall hangings that were made to be wall hangings, and I have hung functional quilts on my walls. So I believe in quilts as art, but I would not buy a quilt. I don't, well, actually, I don't think I would buy an antique quilt, because I'm not a collector, and because and I use quilts. I want quilts to be usable in my house. I want, if someone's watching a football game on the couch, to be able to grab a quilt and watch that game wrapped up in a quilt, drinking a Coke, and not worrying about spilling. Well, maybe worrying a little bit about spilling, but that not being a disaster. And I couldn't do that with an antique quilt. I would also like quilts, it would follow, that you can wash. So if you want a quilt in your house that people can actually use, you either need to befriend a quilter or make quilts yourself. And the thing is you usually don't befriend a lot of quilters and still use until you start making quilts yourself. So then you don't want people to make you quilts because you are, overwhelmed by all the quilts that you're making. Anyway, so that's where I've gotten so far, is that, why do I make quilts? Because I want quilts in my house. And although it's not a particularly cheap thing to make your own quilt, it's a lot cheaper than buying a quilt that is fairly priced. That's my, I've talked about that before. I looked on Etsy today. I will say, if you go on to Etsy and search queen size quilts, they're still underpriced. So there's, although I feel like I saw one that was $900, and I applauded the person selling their queen size quilt for $900, even though probably they should be asking twice that much. But the market's not going to bear it. But at least you feel like maybe they're getting paid a little bit for that quilt, that they're going to make a little bit of money on that quilt, as opposed to people who are selling quilts for $40, who are making nothing. And I'm sure there's a list of reasons why people sell quilts, other than making money. But I think it's wrong to undervalue quilts anyway. So best thing to do is just learn to make your own, and That's if you want a house filled with quilts, the best thing to do is make your own. So, and that's a big reason why I make quilts, is I really like quilts and I want to have quilts around me. But there's more than that, and that will be for tomorrow's writing. So, yes, but mainly I got on here to share with you my sane decision. I got an email from Barb, a listener and friend, who her advice was she I think she had listened to the last episode, and she's like, "Why don't you make sure that sit-in," and she said "Stars Upon Stars," which I guess at some point I was thinking I might submit, but it's not even quilted, so let's substitute wing for that. Why, make sure that those quilts are ready to go, at a moment that you are finished with them, even have sleeves and labels, which I don't. But I take her point. It's like, why not be happy with the quilts? Why not be satisfied with the quilts that are pretty much ready, as opposed to rushing to finish a quilt that's not ready and then creating some opportunities for insanity later on. And I took her point. By the time I got her email, to be honest, I'd already submitted the sit-in and wing. They are in, baby. They're submitted. They're not in the show. They may not be in the show, but as far as they are in the shoot, they're there. So, but it was a sound advice. I'd already made the decision, but that kind of was helpful. It reaffirmed my choice to not just make myself crazy, quite frankly. And now I feel very thrifty because, it's $15 a quilt, which can add up. And I think that for people, particularly if you're a teacher, if you are some way, your livelihood is to some extent dependent on getting your quilts out in the world, then it's worth the investment to, you can submit as many quilts as you want. And it could be worth the investment to submit a bunch of quilts and hoping to get at least one in, but maybe several in. I get that. But I'm cheap, so it feels better to have just spent $30 than $45 or $60. Which is not to say if I didn't have four quilts ready to go, I would not have submitted them. I'm just saying. I'm just taking that as like, all right, 15 extra dollars to spend on Travis and get him nice little presents for Christmas. He, of course, is sitting right next to me, as he usually is if I'm sitting here on the couch. He is loyal and true. All right, then, I'm going to finish this up now. Who knows? Maybe I'll come in and chat a little bit more before I finish up the post episode, whatever it is I'm doing here. And yeah, I probably will, because I'll need to come and say goodbye formally, the way I like to do. So I'll talk to you later. Quilt Diary Day 3. It's Saturday, December 2nd. It's about 9:30 in the morning. I'm the only one in the household awake. I didn't get up until 8:30, which is very late for me. Usually, even on the weekends, I'm up by 7:30, but I slept okay last night. Man, I had a string of nights over the Thanksgiving holiday, maybe three or four nights in a row, where I slept the whole night through. It was amazing. I'm just like, wow, that never happens anymore. On good nights, I'll wake up and I'll just kind of fall back asleep. Maybe two or three times. Other nights, it's just, how it is when you are a 53-year-old woman. Just those beautiful sleeps are rare. And so now I'm like, what did I do? What did I do last week that I had that amazing experience? One thing is, I was working really hard on Sweep Exit. And so I was getting to bed later. And my friend Liz has just told me that if you have trouble sleeping, it's like you should actually stay up till midnight and see if you can sleep all the way through, or most of the way through the night. And if you can, back it up to 11 and see where that point is, where if you go to sleep, you'll stay asleep. Because oftentimes, I love the idea of reading in bed, and so I'll go to bed at 10, but you know what? I'll fall asleep at 10:15. And then I definitely do wake up and wake up and wake up. I don't know, but the last couple of nights I've gone to bed at 11 and it doesn't matter. So, oh well. But Saturday's nice because you can kind of make up for it a little bit by sleeping in. which I've done. And now I have talked about that quite enough. The reason I am getting on to talk to you is I have spent some time this morning reading back issues of the Studio Art Quilters Association Journal, which is available free online through 2015. You have to be a member to access newer issues, but any old person, including yours truly, can get on and read, 6 years worth of journals, which is quite generous. That makes me really happy. I am not an art quilter. I like art quilts and sometimes love art quilts. I'm really interested in that line where modern quilting and art quilting seem to kind of overlap. I think there is a lot of overlap. And one of the things that I would love to write about at some point, or certainly just think more about, because I like thinking about quilts and quilting, is this gray area of modern quilting where functionality is becoming less and less important. I'm almost wondering if at some point in the next couple years, the Modern Quilt Guild board is going to reevaluate that whole notion that modern quilts are primarily functional quilts. It certainly started out that way, which you can understand. Fabric is expensive, even cheap solids add up. And so you want, you know, it's a little bit of a luxury to make art where the materials, whatever those materials are, cost a lot. So, of course, people who came into modern quilting, particularly as new quilters, would want to, and many of whom were young quilters, would want to make quilts they could use, right? I'm kind of assuming that's the rationale for functionality as a primary definition of what a modern quilt is. I actually think functionality is also a way of saying this is what separates modern quilting from art quilting. These are quilts that are meant to be used. So, one, you're going to make quilts you can use because who's got the money to make quilts to hang on the wall if you don't have much money? Or if you're young? Or, you know, I think, too, that modern quilting came out of this sort of post-9/11 let's stay home movement, which was also included the urban homesteading movement and learn how to make your own cheese movement. And just that cyclical do-it-yourself thing that happens every 25, 30 years in this country being the U.S. So that's part of why I think modern quilts were initially primarily functional quilts, because that was part of the idea. I'm going to make things from my home. I'm going to make curtains and oven mitts or whatever. I'm going to make quilts for my beds. Right, so I think that that's part of it as well. And so there's the economic, there's the functional, just being part of a DIY movement member, and then there's functional as in not art quilt. But there's so much overlapping now. And this includes from both sides. So looking through these SAQUA, I don't know if that's how the... If people say SAQUA, I would kind of assume yes. So that's what I'm going to say. But Studio Art Quilt Association journals, you see quilts that my guess are not used as bedspreads, but do have a very modern aesthetic. Sometimes a little funkier. You can tell it's like there's quilts that the design, the aesthetic is very modern, but the fabrics look, for instance, hand-dyed, fancier, I think. But there's definitely this overlap that I find really cool and I'm interested in. So I'm just so happy that these journals are available online. And also, there's a wealth of information in them that's sort of on the practical business side. This journal exists in part, apparently, to help art quilters market their work, find, you know, galleries to show their work, et cetera, et cetera. So there's that professional angle as well, which I think could apply to a lot of quilters, of non-art quilters, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Quilters who are interested in showing their work, marketing their work, selling their quilts. And in fact, there's some articles, how do you price your quilts? And I think non-art quilters who are interested in selling their quilts should really look at that to learn how to value what it is they do, and to not sell a quilt on Etsy for $40. I looked again on Etsy to see what kind of quilts were for sale. The really inexpensive ones are baby quilts. I still don't think people are charging enough, but at least the queen size quilts people seem to be charging somewhat more, like $500. I think I even saw one for $900, and I cheered it. Like, good for you. You're still not asking enough, but you can only ask what the market will bear, right? I mean, at some point, it gets into iffy territory. I mean, it's economics, which I don't understand actually, so I don't know why I'm sitting here talking to you about it. But in any event, there are articles about the business side of art quilts that I think would translate to the business side of any quilting. So I will put the link in the show notes, but I think it's worth checking out. I'm finding a lot that I like to read and that I'm enjoying, and I also, I like art. I like quilts, so there are a lot of pretty pictures. So I just wanted to mention that. There's someone parking in front of my house. It's probably, we have people, neighbors across the street, a little catty corner. Yeah, looks like they're having brunch. I think they have brunch a lot. And everyone, for some reason, they pull into our street, and instead of turning around to go park in front of the other people's house, they park in front of ours, which is okay. It's just my Homo sapien territorial thing acting up. Okay, I had to pause. The man just came down and then he microwaved his coffee. So now I'm back. You didn't even know I was gone. That's the beauty of podcasting. All right, I think I'm gonna finish up and maybe I'll come back again. You never know, but I'd like to get this posted. The man is doing some updating on the website, so I think I will post this Monday. I don't know if I'll talk to you between now and again. That sounds so dramatic. I shan't talk to you again until Monday. But I want to leave you with a quote that I really liked. It's from the book G's Bend, The Women and Their Quilts. It's from an introductory essay by William Arnett. He's the big G's Bend guy. And the essay is called On the Map. And it's a long quote. It's not a pithy quote. But I like it, and I think it's worth thinking about. So here we go. Quilts are rituals of life. Along with shelter, the quilt safeguards the human body during its greatest vulnerability, sleep. The complex ritual of the quilt was integral to rural and frontier American survival. In the Bend, along with many frontier and poor households elsewhere, quilts often provided the only color and decoration other than newspaper-covered walls. In unadorned living spaces, young girls were expected to develop quilt-making skills en route to marriage and leaving home. Learning to make quilts indicated at the same time that a girl was ready to join the company of women. The quilts symbolized practicality and survival, an acquired knowledge of recycling and reuse. Quilts also signaled procreation and nurture. A quilt's presence in a home, even today, tells of a family of loved ones protected. Quilts relate human experience bursting with ideas, dreams, knowledge, courage, and ingenuity, not to mention thrift, adaptability, and stoic resilience. I like that. I thought it was neat. I wrote it down in my book where I write down things that I've read that I think are neat. And so for now, I will leave you with that. And if I don't come back to tell you one more thing before Monday, I will see you next time. I think I will post an episode between now and Christmas because I do not plan on getting all aflutter over Christmas. I plan to enter Christmas happily, with little muss and fuss, nice decorations, a tree, a few cookies. I want it to be a peaceful, joyous time in which we contemplate the many gifts we have been given. Thus endeth my sermon, and perhaps this episode. We shall see.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.